I'd like to confine my comments tonight to Romans 8 and verse 32. It's a question. Romans 8, 32. A wonderful thing to consider as we come to the end of this year and the beginning of a brand new one. The scripture says this: He that spared not his own son. So who's that talking about? Of course, our Father, God the Father in heaven. He that spared not his own son, capital S, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's a question, and it deserves our response. The focus here is just a basic, simple, logical consideration of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ came, lived, died, rose from the grave. And the question becomes, if that occurred, then how could we ever think that God would not take care of us the rest of the way? Let's take it apart. We'll look at it in three different phases. If you look at your text there, the first phrase says, He that spared not his own son. God gave up his son. He did not shrink from giving this much. So I can ask the question, what price are you willing to pay for someone else's benefit? And, there's kind of some really interesting possibilities that you can think about even just recently, because maybe you purchased something for a loved one, Christmas, as a gift. It wasn't a gift exchange, but you sacrificed, you spent money, whatever, time, whatever, and you did that because you loved someone else. And so you took what was yours, your life, your time, your money, and you gave it up so that you could obtain something to give to your loved one. This is this idea here. He spared not his own son. Perhaps you went shopping and you saw something that you wanted to get. I don't think we want to spend that much. Or perhaps you needed a vehicle and you thought, I don't want to spend that much. God did not say, I don't want to spare or to spend that much. He spared not his own son. There's something about this sacrifice that is even more startling, though, than the extent of God not sparing his son. And that is the reason for it. Notice what it says. The second phrase. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Why did he do that? As marvelous as the price that is paid is the reason for this price. Why did he do it? He spared not his son, but rather he delivered his son. Why? For us. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. And so two questions here. One is, how can people so casually ignore this sacrifice? You know, how is it that people can go through life, I don't mean this critically, just rhetorically to think about, how is it that people can go through life and know that the Bible teaches and that history teaches that there was a man who lived and died, that happens all the time, but there was this one man who rose from the grave and then visibly, bodily ascended to heaven? How is it that people can know those facts and just casually go on about their life? How is that? How is it that something that sensational, that stupendous, that marvelous, that amazing can take place, and yet people can just not even think about it, not even consider it, not impact their own lives? But beyond that, there are those who have pondered that and who recognize that this one who died and rose and ascended did it for us, our text says. And so there is a response that says, I need this Savior, I trust this Savior, and become a Christian. And yet, how is it that even as Christians, sometimes we can be so carelessly unmoved by this sacrifice? God did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. The reason why Jesus died is clear: for us. Nothing more, nothing less. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, the third phrase. When the Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, there is a logical argument that is leading to a conclusion. If this God did not spare his own son, but rather delivered him up and did it for us, then the question is, how shall God not with Christ also freely give us all things? How can we possibly think that there's a God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us? How can we think that God would not spare, but rather deliver up his son? How can we think he would then just let us go? Never. That's the logic of the text. God's question is this. If his sacrifice could not have been greater, and if his sacrifice is for us, how can we ever question God or his motives or his gifts or his plans or his direction in our life? But is it not true that we can question God's motives? And we wonder, why are you doing this? Why did you let this happen to me? This text is arguing that the remedy for those kinds of doubts and fears and questions is to go back to the gospel and recognize he's spared not his son, he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give me all that I need? He gave, it was proven on the cross. He freely gave, it was proven on the cross. He freely gave to us, it was proven on the cross. Freely gave us all things. Everything else is so far less than the fact that God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. So the key is to faithfully work at training our minds to go back to the gospel, back to Calvary, back to Jesus' death, and to rest in him. God is for you. Romans 8:31, right in our context here, the very verse before, says, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is where our faith can rest and where our faith can be secure. Amen.